Hello, I'm Brad.
And I'm Jason.
You are listening to Dice and Mind, a monthly podcast in which we explore the meaning of life through the lens of RPGs.
We're lifelong friends, a couple of guys in their 40s who along the way had families and became professionals. Over the years, we've talked about pretty much everything. But recently, we realized we both had an interest and some history with tabletop role-playing games. So,
in each episode, we will consider everyday stuff like science, religion, philosophy, and economics, all through the lens of a specific role-playing game and its dice mechanic. For example, what would I have to roll in the Edge of the Empire narrative dice system to get that promotion at work?
Or would getting that paper published give me advantage on a subsequent D20 roll in Dungeons & Dragons?
If I were DM, likely not. But join us now and every month to think deeply, geek out, and explore how RPGs make the world just a little bit better.
This is
Dice in my mind.
Welcome to episode 4. In the last episode, we were talking about the narrative dice system. We want to continue that discussion this week. I think there's probably some practical aspects of it that we can do or we can discuss. And I think Jace from Jace and I do a little bit of prep, but a lot of this is organic because we like it that way. We talk about some ideas that we want to hit. And Jason, you brought up an interesting example of like a recent event and how you actually imagined it within the narrative system.
Yeah, that's right, Brad. So hi everybody. Welcome back to Dice in Mind. So leading up to this episode, I've been thinking a lot, as you can imagine, about the narrative dice system. And of course, Brad and I talk about this stuff offline a lot. And so let me give you a real life story. So recently at the university where I teach, I got a new position, kind of a stepping part way, 1 foot out of faculty, keeping 1 foot firmly in. And the details are really quite irrelevant, but I think the narrative dice system is such an apt description. So let me walk you through this very recent occurrence in my life through the lens of these dice, as it were. So I'm on this committee at the university, and the position opens up, and I think, you know, I really enjoy this work. It's meaningful. It's a wonderful group of people, of scholars. It would be really interesting, even though it would make me a little busier. I'm going to go for it. I don't know how much competition there is, but I think I have a fair chance, a better than 50-50 certainly, to get the position. And it's something that I'd actually had my eye on for about 2 years, a little more than that, to be honest. Okay, so how would you comprise a dice pool in the Fantasy Flight Games narrative dice system? And, you know, as this has been happening in my real life over the past several months, I've been thinking about this because it's a slow process, and it's given me the time. So, all right, I grab my green dice, my ability dice, however many or few those might be. I maybe can throw in one or two yellow proficiency dice because this position is in an area where I have some strength, I hope, and there's some recognition of that among this group. And so I think I've got a fair shot, but I don't know how much competition there is. I don't know who I'm up against, if you will. They're all colleagues, but it's somewhat of a higher profile, although poorly understood role on campus. And so for all I know, people are chomping at the bit who have a lot more experience and cachet than I do. So let's just say it's 3 purple difficulty dice, and I'll be optimistic and not throw in any red ones. All right. Well, we've compiled our dice to roll in the tray. But along the way, as I was interviewing and going through the formal process, it was hinted to me that I was the only one foolish enough to apply for the position. Awesome. That's a great road to success, if you ask me. So what do? You add one, maybe two blue boost dice. And so, sure, that's a really complex dice pool when you think of all the symbols you'll have to compute. But what do we have? We've got maybe two green plus a yellow plus two blue plus three purple. Anything could happen. But there's a good chance that something positive will happen. And indeed, fortunately for me, it did. And in that way, I think the narrative dice system is a little complex, a little top heavy, if you will. But man, how neat is it that it so meaningfully and with such nuance can simulate real life? So that's my example. What about you, Brett?
Well, before we go there, you know what's interesting is the way you described it and the way you related it to, in effect, the process of your decision to apply for it. You know, both of us being, you know, what would you say, amateur data scientists, or in your case, maybe more of a professional data scientist with research work you do, the probabilities that come up when you think about it. It is a narrative system. It does have, you know, but in effect, you're adding or removing advantage based off of probabilities. You know, on the other hand, since you were really the only applicant, couldn't we have used the well-used term during our D&D episodes of DM prerogative, and couldn't I have just given you the position?
That would have been fine with me, but in a public university, there is more than enough required bureaucracy that very little is given, although much might be nudged. How's that?
Yeah, and this was not a D&D episode, but it's funny when I was listening to this, and we talked really briefly about this before we started recording this episode, but the way you just narrated it, it's complex, the system, but it is almost weighted in a better way in many cases, just in my mind, than a D20 system, which is elegant, don't get me wrong. But just the crunchiness of it, although you don't think about it, in my head there's some crunchiness to it based off of, you know, whether it's a pre-written, or, you know, when you game master, when you GM it, you know, you build worlds, you build stories, how you have to make those decisions for folks.
And I think if I can interject, I think that's absolutely right. And I think, you know, like, you know, with all good, there might still, you know, no matter how much the silver lining is there, right, a few of those raindrops still might slip through. And so you think of the narrative dice system. And okay, so I apparently, if you will, rolled a success or more, right? It was a successful skill check. But if you as the listeners, if you've ever played with this dice system, you know that even on a really successful check, you still get a couple of those disadvantages, right, to make the story more complex. In my case, it's a week or two after getting the position, which doesn't start for several months. It's, oh, by the way, you will be in charge of maintaining the website. So that means you have to do this training. And also the national standards for some of this work is an 800-page book. So, you know, happy summer. So I just think it's so realistic.
Well, it just, the more you talk about this, the more we could make a whole episode about this situation and there could be multiple permutations of the mixture of, you know, advantage, disadvantage, and so on within just this mechanic. I just thought of something and I'm going to kind of break the wall here, and this is not we're not going to take stances on it, but I just think right now the topic in our country, as we sit here tonight, I'll put the date, it's April 10th, 2021. Top of the news is vaccines because of COVID. Again, I'm not, neither of us are advocating one position or another in the context of this podcast, but can you think of trying to determine, based off of political stance or personal stance, or there are historic issues related to it, how each person would have their own role when it comes to the vaccine?
Boy,
Again,
that.
I just dropped this one on you, and the only reason I did that, and we normally don't broach the topic of politics because these days it's really kind of a no win, and we're not again advocating one way or the other. It's just I'm looking at this in the context of the system. This is a question for each person. It's a personal question. It's a personal decision, based off of, their beliefs, their history, and multiple
Yeah,
things.
I mean, I keeping our listeners in mind, I absolutely would advocate for a very specific position on this, but that's not your question. And so I would say I think you're right that I'm not sure how one would assemble the dice pool, but I think depending on where you come from, depending on the community with whom you identify, depending on what bubble you live in, right? Where you get your news, where what your family talks about, and then asking, okay, so how do I comprise a dice pool of narrative dice for my decision making, which I think is what you're asking, Brad. I think that's going to look yeah, very different. I agree. Depending on your answer to each of those, right? To each of those questions. For example, I'm grateful. I've been vaccinated. For me, it was not even a consideration. When I, if I were going to create my dice pool, well, what's my background? I'm a scientist. I go out of my way to read the actual science behind this. I get my news. Probably, I try not to be in too many bubbles, but most of the people with whom I interact on a regular basis, which these days in a pandemic isn't that many, but still, they tend to lean toward the science, right? They see a communal responsibility, but I don't have a background in a population or a community who's been historically disenfranchised. I don't have a background where there's anything inherent to my personal experiences or those of my parents or family or friends, which would make me question the soundness, right, of getting vaccinated. So I think you're right. I think for every individual, you could say, well, couldn't you use the dice to essentially simulate what the thought process or the decision process could be?
Yeah, this is, there's that Big Bang episode where Sheldon decides to make all his decisions by doing a D20 roll. And I think back to,
I need to watch that again.
I don't want to min yeah, I don't I'm not trying to minimize anything, but he was at the restaurant and he ended up getting, I can't remember, it was some side dish and buttermilk, and that was all he had was able to dice roll his dinner. This is so much, this is, and again, I'm partially vaccinated. I get my final shot on the 19th. So,
Yay.
From my perspective, I have some higher risk. I would be considered a higher risk in the on the chart. So for me, I needed to do it. And because I have, you have, we have family that are older. We needed to do it for a protection sake. So for me, the dice pool might look a little different for us, but maybe similar. But I know I have people who I consider friends, and family who would have a very different pool of dice to roll when making the decision to do this or not. And it's interesting to me in watching the news, how different the dice pools are within segments of society. And based off of exactly what you said, you know, family history, all sorts of history of issues with you know, vaccination testing in the past and the abuse of that type of research. You know, I'm not, again, we're jumping the border. I didn't forewarn Jason of this because I didn't think of it until we were talking, but I just think that's one of the most paramount personal decisions that we have to make, or family decisions we have to make, because we decided as a family to vaccinate. And how different, virtually different, we could line up, you know, Jason and I live in very diverse cities. We could line up 10 people out on the street and we would have different dice pool for each person. If we were GMing and they, and we knew what their perception was and what they were going to roll, what they had to roll.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
We can think of, you know, the context of us doing this, where it was, the idea that we wanted to use this application of whatever game system that we've been talking about and how does it apply in real life?
Right.
You know, think back, was it, you know, and decisions aside related to masks and everything. I mean, any of this type of stuff related to the pandemic could do it for me personally. Yeah. Outside of that, you know, I had to, you know, make a decision as to whether or not I would check on and visit family in the area, that were higher risk, and older, and in effect determine what my kind of contact was going to be with them.
Yeah.
Or the decision to send my kids to school. They're back in school 4 days a week, but kids can stay virtual the whole year. So what was our dice roll for that?
Yeah, ours are going back Wednesday for the first time to 4 days a week, or four two-thirds days a week. And oh man, talk about a dice roll, right? Yeah. Talk about a constant between my wife and me of on the one hand, is it safe? I'm not sure. On the other hand, I've got one in middle school and one in high school. And socially, is it worth the risk? Yeah, I mean, right. No question about it. I mean, and the dice pool keeps changing with every roll, right? As things update.
Yeah, the dice pool changes with each variant. You know, is that variant in my community, or are we at risk?
Yeah.
You know, mine just I'm hopefully, if my family listens to this years from now, they, or even next week, they aren't going to.
Oh, they don't worry, they won't.
Okay, good. Yeah, I guess the topic kind of precludes anyone from my family wanting to listen to me ramble, whether
that's
this
right.
topic or any.
They hear that enough.
Yeah. So my son got his license last year right before the shutdown. And, you know, he actually took the road test, and then 2 weeks later they closed it down, and it was really just an affidavit parents filled out and sent it in, and then they'd get their license. But he actually took the road test, passed with flying colors. So he's had his license for a year.
Then your wife taught him.
Yeah, no, I actually taught him, believe it or not. I actually did teach him. Jason knows my driving habits.
The stories, the recursive stories we could tell, but we're drifting.
Yeah, we could start another podcast about Brad's stupid decisions in his life.
Brad in a paper bag, but yes.
Yeah. Yes. Moving on.
Keep going, because I want to, say what you want to say.
So he had his license a year ago. There hasn't been anywhere for him to go, really.
Yeah. Oh, yes.
For the past year. So 2 weeks ago, I got the surprise of my life where he's like, Dad, I need to take the car out, or can I take the car out with my friend?
You texted me.
Yeah. So the question becomes, one, you know, are they going to mask up when they're together? Yeah. They wanted to go walk around and look at clothing and shoe places. Two, do I say it's okay that they can go into malls and things like that? Three, just looking at my insurance bill, do I let them have the car or not? Yeah. And four, you know, this is the first time he's asked, and it's been 12 months, because there hasn't been any reason. And Ultimately, based off of that, the confidence has grown that now I have to roll the dice on whether or not he'll start driving to school every day.
Yes.
So, think of all the, and in fact, the micro questions, the small little questions
That's
in
where all
terms
those
of,
boost and setback die come in. Yeah.
That's just, that's just one example. If I just took everything else out and said, and dad's, and he says, Dad, could I take the car out this weekend? I have to weigh all of the different variables. And how would that play out in a D20 system versus a narrative system?
So, actually, I'm glad you brought us back there, because I, Brad, because I want to make one more comment about the narrative dice system that we haven't touched on. And I don't know that we really even said much about this under its D20 version. But so, okay, so we know with the D20 version, as you've taught me, right, more than I've actually read, with D&D 5e and the D20 dice mechanic, you have to have a certain amount of XP, and different monsters, different adversaries, different situations might have a DC, right? They have a difficulty level, if you will, and those are kind of set, right? Whereas in real life, maybe they are, but you never know, right, what that setting is and whether it's arbitrary. And with the narrative system, it's what you do your best guess to approximate the difficulty, without arbitrariness. But one thing, and this is where I want to go with this, another thing that I think is so reflective of real life. So, like, think of your son who's driving licensed. Wow. And my older daughter is 40 some hours into her 50 pre-license, right? She's got her permit and she'll get hers in the fall, her license. And so it's the same thing of, if we're going anywhere, she can drive, because where are you going to go right now? But they're both learning, aren't they? Right? And with the narrative mechanic, you can invest your XP as you see fit into skills, turning those green to more powerful yellow dice along the way, and over time, and through experience. And man, that's real life, right? Like this afternoon, my daughters, and I got a kick out of this. My daughter spent an hour, it's a Saturday, I should mention, so this will make more sense. But my daughter spent an hour this afternoon on the floor around an iPad looking up colleges. Now, they are 3 and 5 years away from that endeavor. And so I was sitting at the dining room table, like flipping through something, and I'd get a question and I'd, kind of call out my answer. And it was fun to have that discussion and the one that ensued. But what are they doing? They're trying to figure out, well, what's this all about? And the question then came up at the dinner table. Well, how do you how I, right before dinner, my older daughter asked me, Daddy, how do you figure out where to go, where to apply? And of course, Brad knows me. So, in my 25-minute response, which was still ambiguous, I tried. And then I realized, like, those 25 minutes, I'm like, I don't think I've answered your question yet. She's like, not really. But it's through experience, through XP, you build your skills, you become better at things, but you have the say in the directions you take through your learning. And just because we've been a little more serious, right, this past hour, I think that's a really optimistic, lovely aspect of the narrative dice mechanic that represents some of the better opportunities in life and the decisions in a positive sense that we can hold sway over.
Yeah, I like you said. I mean, this was, when we talked before this, I didn't necessarily think we would get this serious. I kind of turned it in that direction, just on thought. I mean, for you, for my son, who is a year away from college,
Oh man.
he already knows he's going to go to one of the state universities. As it stands right now, he's known for 3 years, so he's a junior in high school. He's known since he was in seventh grade, the career he wants. He has stuck to that. I don't want to say what, because if he comes back years from now and he's not doing that, I'll put questions in his head. But he, as it stands now, has kind of determined the career path he wants to look. So today, for a drive, I haven't even told you this, Jace, we drove up to the university.
Oh, nice.
And drove around, because he's now contemplating whether he wants to live on the campus or live at home and commute.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, you know, think about the calculations and what he's looking at in terms of a narrative dice roll in his head as he's making that decision. And as we're driving around, he can see where he'd have to park, how he would commute in the weather, because we both live in, you know, the northern part of the U.S., you know, versus living on campus, potentially with people you don't know. You know, think of the calculations that just 3 years or 4 years, 3 years ahead of where you're at, he's making those decisions right now. And my daughter's a freshman. They're very different personalities. Hers are going to be, she's looking at a completely different career, a completely different direction. And just between the two that are sitting in their room right now, the roles would be, it would be very interesting if I tried to go up and say, explain to them, okay, I want to compare your decision-making on this to the dice. But if they didn't kick me out of the room for nerdiness, it would actually be an interesting discussion.
I think all of our kids, when they see us approaching with dice, know to get busy.
Yeah. Or do something that most kids don't do, and that is go outside and get away and run.
Yeah. Which does make me, I'm not going to bring us here, but ever since you brought up Big Bang Theory, I was imagining, well, what does this sound like to the listeners versus if we had been on that show, we would have been closer to the Sheldon Kripke in the gym.
Oh yeah.
That's much more representative, except neither of us is like tall and lanky. You're pretty tall, but that's all
we know. We know someone who is, and if that person's listening right now, they're probably laughing because we know someone who is.
I don't think there's any chance he would ever listen to this. He has much better judgment.
Well, I think he might listen to the start, but we are how much time into this episode? I don't think he would last the episode. He's very bright and intelligent. He would just have absolutely no interest in listening. It's not his area, and I don't blame him. There's a reason that you and I are doing this, because we're a special type of nerd, and thank goodness that we actually found wives, even with that special being that special type of nerd.
It really does surprise me.
Yeah.
Even after all these years.
Yeah, little self-deprecating humor there, folks. So.
Oh, I'm sorry. Were we being funny?
No, I guess we weren't. I guess it was factual.
Oh yeah.
And now I've just made myself sad. So.
Yeah. Well, you know, better you than me making you sad.
But I think I know we're going to shortly go to GM Corner and talk about what we've been reading on and everything. But, you know, I was going to talk about personal situations. I think I covered that kind of with my son and driving and university, and you were just talking about it. And I think we have some societal issues that we're dealing with right now. We talked about vaccines and viruses and all that, but I would just ask, take a moment. I think this plays into a larger issue. I promise I won't be political, and hopefully you'll stay with us, but think about all the societal issues we see in the news. I'm not going to get into them. We all know what we see on the news, whether it's on television or reading or whatever. And ponder the idea of what each person's role, what each person's, you know, their dice group would look like. And for all of these issues that are going on, I think it's an interesting way of putting yourself in someone else's shoes.
Which is just crucial to do, isn't it?
Yeah. I mean, we have to do a lot of that in our country, regardless of whether it was now, 50 years ago, 50 years from now. But it would be an interesting context to if you're the type of person that thinks like we do, and that is, look at all these issues. How do they personally impact me, and what decisions do I have to make?
Mm-hmm. And what do I have available to me to add to that dice pool?
Yeah.
Yeah. As we transition, walk over to the GM corner, just a little heads up for next month's episode. Brad and I are going to spend some time with you all exploring the Star Trek Adventures 2D20, right? That's what we call it, the 2D20 system. And just a little warning, I'm not sure you're quite, I don't know, I was going to say I'm not sure you're quite as bad as me, Brad, but I think back to how many decades we've had of discussion just around DS9 itself. We get into D&D, we get into Star Wars, but the amount of time we can spend talking Star Trek might border on the unhealthy. So we're looking forward to exploring that dice mechanic, talking about that game, talking about Trek a little bit, and maybe that's our segue over to the GM corner. Well, I know we both have a
Jason,
bunch of other
talk. I don't know if it would be border. I think everybody owns a hard copy and a paperback of the Physics of Star Trek, don't they?
Okay, full disclosure, I've never read it.
Oh, you're kidding.
Which to my credit, or not my credit, my advantage, it turns out that Lawrence Krauss, the author, is maybe just a flagrant misogynist. I don't know what happened, so I guess I'm not sad that I didn't read it, but yes, I'm probably one of the only hardcore Trekkies who has never actually read the book.
Well, then probably would be worthwhile if he is a hardcore misogynist. I'm glad I've read already, because then it might go into my half price books box.
Yeah, don't quote me on that. I'm not trying to slander the guy, but I know a few years ago, because he's a very public scholar, very public intellectual, and I know a few years ago he really caught some flack, and it was really disappointing to me. When you have that big of, and anyways, we're digressing. Let's hop over into the corner. I know before recording, you and I were talking about this. Why you start? Because I know there are several things we want to just touch on.
No, and you hit it because like Jason said, we're going to get into the Star Trek Adventures, and I'll let him, because we talked a little bit about this before we started, as we normally would. I am actually working through the relatively recently released Klingon source book. I've been waiting for something like that for a while. Jason knows that I pre-order anything for that game. So it doesn't mean I'm going to get it first, but it just means that it's almost like when I see an email from them, I have my wallet at the ready in case they're talking about something. And there is so much free on their website, starter kits and all that. So if there is an interest in your part in looking at that in the context of us and coming episodes, I would highly recommend you go to Modiphius's site and pull down some of the free starter material.
Yeah, so Brad's trying to get me to buy stuff.
Well, I was just talking about free stuff. And
I know. You're trying to plant the seed.
I'm planting the seed because I would bet good money on the fact that by the time the next episode comes around, Jason's going to own the source book.
Just so you all know, this is coming from the guy who one time, I talk about pre-order, one time I texted him, I'm like, come on, buy it. And he responds, I ordered it yesterday. Or something to that effect. Yeah, so you have never been shy about pre-ordering.
Not with this. And no. And you and I, we have, like Jason said, Star Wars comes up, D&D comes up, Star Trek comes up, not just because of the gaming.
It's a mindset.
Yeah, and so that's what I've been working on, and I'm going to kind of segue over, because I can't remember the name of it. You can remind me. Just this past week, Star Trek made a number, or Paramount made a number of announcements, right?
Yeah, so for first, now, again, listeners, we indulge us. We are recording this. This episode won't release for a bit in keeping with our schedule, but we are recording not more than a week or so after the first quote-unquote official first contact day, and there were several announcements. It is very, very much a golden age, a true renaissance, or as my favorite captain would say, a renaissance of Star Trek right now. I'm stopping there so that Brad can talk. Otherwise, I'm not going to stop for another hour of recording.
Yeah, and I was just going to say, I know we want to keep this to an hour episode, and with us, that's a every week we can do that. It almost qualifies as a miracle.
Yeah, but I will add though, since we're in the GM's corner, I will add without getting into all the Trek stuff going on, because like you said, we're going to talk about that next time. But I have been, well, there's other stuff I've been working on that you and I can talk about more offline. But there's so much up right now with Trek, because as we're recording, they've announced. They've given a teaser for season two of Star Trek Picard, for season two of Star Trek Lower Decks. You know what really surprises me, Brad? I'm actually really curious to see Star Trek Prodigy, even though it's going to be a kids animated, just out of sheer curiosity of how creative they'll get.
And Kate Mulgrew is coming back to reprise her role as Janeway in a hologram form. In the context, she's a hologram in the context of the series. So, I definitely will watch it. And by the time you'll hear the next episode, Jason will have the source material needed to have a really good discussion about the Star Trek Adventure System. So, there's your hint, Jason. Get out your pocketbook.
And trying to get away from that before I pull up Amazon here behind my screen. Just since we were talking for the past couple episodes about Star Wars, Bad Batch will debut right around the time, I think within a week or so of when this episode drops. And I was never a big fan of Star Wars Clone Wars, the animated series, although I thought the end of the Ahsoka arc, especially the battle with Darth Maul in the penultimate episode, is some of the best Star Wars I've seen. But I've got to admit, I think it's, I don't know if it's the second trailer or the extended trailer or whatever they labeled it, Brad, but the like 2 minute dive where we get to actually see some of the Bad Batch. It really does look interesting to me. It looks like it could be a legitimately interesting story.
We could have a whole episode even independent of dice and game mechanics, just about all of the Trek and Star Wars stuff that's coming and thoughts on it. But you could record any of our conversations that would result, and if we did those podcasts, we would probably garner at least three subscriptions to that, if not four. I think three or four people might actually find that interesting, which is about two or three people more than we normally would get in terms of our conversations.
Yeah,
So.
you know though, but I mean, look at how popular, not us, but look at how popular Trek has become and is becoming again. And I'll for myself, I'll close with this and then turn it back over to you. I think the view of a of maybe not a utopian, but of a of a an open, inclusive, technologically savvy, environmentally friendly, bright green future, that optimism, that wonder that is implicit to Trek, even when they're facing, right, when they're wrestling with really interesting issues. I think that's absolutely wonderful. And so on that note, something does come to mind, so I'll add it. If you guys have never seen the DS9 documentary, what was that? What We Left Behind? It's excellent. And the Voyager documentary, I'm guessing the people who are listening to this are probably also following that. But I the Voyager documentary, I think they just closed with over $1 million crowdfunded. I think it's the highest, it is, right? The highest gross, highest funded, crowdfunded documentary in history, and it looks really, really interesting. So there's lots of really neat stuff, and not to mention the Nichelle Nichols documentary that's coming out, I think, this summer. And just from watching the trailer, I didn't even know any of that history. It is a good time to be alive around Trek. And with that, may the shorts be with you. All yours.
Yep. Nope. And so I think that probably Jason took my time, so I don't have anything interesting. No, I'm kidding.
Those are two separate issues.
Yeah, two separate issues, but again, we could go on with any of these subjects for hours, but especially Trek these days. So as we wrap up, and as Jason opens up Amazon to buy the Star Trek Adventures book,
Applause.
everybody be well, stay safe. Hopefully that when this episode drops, we're going to continue to see the country open up. It's been over a year, ironically, since Jason and I and our group of friends have really been able to see each other. It's been well over a year. And hopefully as this drops, we're going to be approaching that time where we're going to be planning things as a group to and there are social events and family events coming where we're all going to finally be able to get together.
Yeah, I'll be
So, and
busy
I
though,
hope the
so
same
we'll
for
see.
you. Yeah. Oh, you
Yeah,
thanks. You're going to be the one running outside.
I'll be the
I can
one
make
running
jokes about
outside.
you running. I can make
Well,
jokes about you running,
ne
but we'll
neither
leave
of
that for
us
another
run on
episode.
a bo neither of us run both on principle and just because it's better that way.
Yeah, I always tell folks the only thing I run from are the police and two. I run from police and two buffets. So
Too
that's
easy, letting it
the. All right, folks. Have a great month. We will see you next month. Take care. Be safe.
Yeah, thanks for joining us for Dice and Mind. See you soon.
In the family room. Beyond some items that have kept me busy this past week outside the realm of RPGs, for me, I have been fascinated. I enjoy playing Star Wars. Like Jason said, he played more. We go back to the days of the D6 Star Wars. But the fact that at the time, FFG took the Star Wars narrative dice system and generalized it into the Genesis system. And you and I have talked about different worlds and different ways to use this outside of Star Wars because of the very thing you said about the way that you can connect with the narrative dice system. I have been reading more Genesis lately, and it really had nothing to do with the fact that in a future episode we're going to talk about it. I'm just fascinated by it because, one of the things that you and I went through originally was, we were looking at a very crunchy type of gaming system to play. And when we switch gears, as much as because we like data and we work in realms where one form or another we're working with data or research, we thought a crunchy system would resonate. Actually is more of the D20 type of system that allows creativity. And the narrative dice system that is not crunchy, that seemed to resonate with us more. And I think that's one of the things that I enjoy is that when we play, which by the way, we should probably talk about when we're done here, when we play, we are looking for something that in effect is different than what we do on a given day's basis or life. So for me, I've been focusing on Genesis and just thinking about different ways, if we wanted to play something even beyond D&D, what world could we create? Could we use an existing area that has always interested us? Or, do we continue to play within the Star Wars realm? Either way, I'm fascinated by that system. I want to learn more about it. I'm continuing to learn more about it. And I think that's the direction. Correct me if I'm wrong, Jace, that we're going to go with our next episode.
Yeah, that sounds really cool. I'm looking forward to hearing more about the Genesis system writ large, right? The reimagined GURPS, if you will, because I haven't spent much time there, and it looks so interesting.
Yeah, so as we wrap up here today, folks, we again thank you for listening. We thank you for indulging us as we continue to
learn how to, or refine, I shouldn't say learn, refine our ability to record, and learn, you know, more me than Jason, not to move around and you hear background noise or so on, or start to talk as and be on mute and have Jason pop up on camera looking at me like I had lost my mind.
Oh, good. You saw that.
Oh, yeah, I saw it. I saw it. And because I had already started a conversation, and really, and when you were looking at it, the first thing I looked at was mute, which is something we talked about even as we got online today. So, you know, being a tech nerd, that's a little embarrassing.
Brad has no idea how many conversations we've had on Zoom where I just mute it so I can do my stuff more important.
Yeah, well, back at you.
Yeah, right.
But I thank you all for indulging us for this episode. We're going to continue to refine and get better.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to continue to have these conversations about the mechanics, because the more we do this, the more fascinating it gets.
It really does. And someday, after the pandemic, I'm going to upgrade my router, and it'll be even better.
I am holding out hope that that's actually the case, because I think you've been saying that for about 2 years. And someday you will have internet speed that rivals ISDN.
Well, yeah. With that, guys, thanks as always for joining us. Be well, stay well. We'll see you next time.
Be well and stay safe, folks. We'll see you soon.